5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, joined with co-host Jonathan Miklos. We are back after a week. We took last Sunday off, had a lot going on, so we figured, hey, we'll just end July tonight, and we're approaching college football. I think we're about 34 days away, Jonathan, from the start of college football. Is my math correct?
Sure. I'll know math.
I know it starts a week early.
Myself.
It does. I know it does.
That's
it
right.
It starts a week early. So
I think you are right. It's 26 plus 7, 33. Yeah. There we go.
We're getting close, man, and we're close to the holiday game. NFL, I think, is what, next Sunday?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like preseason's right around the corner.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe it's or something like that. I can't remember, but next week is July 30th. But, I mean, you know, after the 4th, that's when football starts to me. That's when we get ready. We had media days. We've had some news as well. And tonight, you know, we have to talk about two things at least. We're going to talk about Hugh Freeze and what happened at Ole Miss. We're going to talk O.J. Simpson a little bit. I want to hear people's opinion about that. And we're going to talk college football. I mean, those are three things right there. So we will not leave this show without that. But the Braves just hit a home run, I believe, to tie it up 4-4. In L.A., Jonathan, if they win today, the Braves on the road, you got the hottest team in baseball, 3 out of 4. I mean, you got to like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, well, it's like I've been telling you, but, you know, the Braves are a young team, and things are going to click a little slow, but the way they've been building, I've been very impressed. I think this is a team that, you know, maybe this year they can get hot, right, make a wild card, but next year and the year after that, you really, really, really have to consider the Braves to be a team that can contend for the playoffs.
Well, I like to see it. I mean, hopefully they won't trade away their nucleus once they build their team. That's what they're going to do, but we'll see. We're not a baseball show right now. We're a college football show. And, Jonathan, I don't know what you think about Hugh Freeze, but one thing I've always thought, said on the show, I think there's just something I don't trust about him. Does he cheat recruiting? I think so. But anybody that talks about being a Christian all the time or whatever, it's just something just didn't feel right about Hugh Freeze to me. And then this comes out. I'll be honest with you, Jonathan, I am surprised that Hugh Freeze was calling prostitutes. Now, if it came out that he was cheating, paying players, tell me, were you surprised that Hugh Freeze calling prostitutes?
I mean, I'm a little surprised considering how outwardly religious he was. Then again, it always seems like the ones who are so outwardly religious like that are the ones who tend to get caught up in things like this. Looking at it from some personal experience. I find it hilarious that the escort service that they got him on is in Tampa. Hey, what do you know? Things tend to always take a funny turn. The minute I found that out,
you probably ran into him before, and you don't even know it.
You know, all I could think of was, I wonder if I know anybody somewhat related closely to this, at least on the Tampa side. This whole thing, this is what I find to be hilarious, is that this whole thing comes down to them not apologizing to Houston Nutt. If they don't try and throw Houston Nutt under the bus for the infractions that happened, Houston Nutt never files suit. His lawyer never files the Freedom of Information Act, gets the phone records from Hugh Freeze's work phone, cross-references all those numbers, and comes up with this. And they got this, and they went to Ole Miss and said, we have this. What are you going to, you know, we can make it go away, or we can make it ugly. And Ole Miss was like, give me a day.
How were they able to do that? How were they able, do you think they stumbled across that, or do you think Houston Nutt knew something? Because,
I honestly
believe how would throwing Houston Nutt under the bus give them the right to go in and look at his records and things like that?
Well, because Houston Nutt doesn't like that he, you know, they're chucking him and almost making it so he can never work in college football again. So he hired a lawyer and filed suit for defamation of character. And because of the Freedom of Information Act session at the schools, his phone is a school phone, so you can legally get the phone records. And I think they stumbled on the, I mean, you know, what are the odds that he actually made a call like that? You know, and then when Ole Miss, I guess, did their own digging, that's when they found out, okay, this is not a one-time thing. You know, it says, look, we can fire you for cause and you get nothing, or you can resign and get nothing. Pick one.
I would have said fire me, and then I'm going to fight you on it too. I mean, I'm not walking away from that kind of money, Jonathan. I mean, you're going to have to fight me tooth and nail. But Hugh Freeze, I mean, do you respect him for resigning? I don't. I mean, I just think he took the coward's way out with that too.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, I understand he tried to resign to save face, which turned out to backfire because it came out why he was resigning, why he was forced to resign. So, you know, if I'm Hugh Freeze, I make them fire me just from the standpoint of you resigning and it's still coming out, you still lose.
You know, if I was Hugh Freeze, I would say, you're going to fire me and you're going to pay me, because if you don't, I'm going to tell more on this program. And if anyone knows more than me, good luck. I mean, all Hugh Freeze does is come out and say, guys, we paid 17 players in the last 3 years to come here. That's all it would take for the death penalty to hit. So I just don't know why. And I don't have respect for anyone that throws someone else under the bus, that blames someone else for any issues. Ole Miss should have owned up to it. Not mention Houston's name. They could have said this was done prior coaches involved. Do not mention a person's name and slander it like that. But, man, Hugh Freeze. And it makes me wonder, I wonder if Gus knew about this, because Gus and him are good friends. And I wonder how many more college football coaches are using this service. I mean, I just don't think it's over yet. I don't think this story is over, Jonathan. I think more's coming out. I think we're going to be even more surprised once some of these things come out. And you got to feel bad for Hugh Freeze's family, his wife and kids, and you have to feel bad for Ole Miss fans, because this program is in the dump. And I don't know how long it's going to take them to get back, Jonathan. I'm going to say Penn State got faster because they're Penn State. This is Ole Piss. So, good luck. They've always sucked, and now that they finally got a 9 or 10-win season under their belt, now what are they going to do? I don't see them coming back from this right now. I don't see any 4 or 5-star player getting close to Ole Miss for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you look at Ole Miss, they know, even when they had Eli Manning, this was never really a team that you took too seriously. I mean, you know, obviously they were a good ball club. There's no doubt about it. You know, when they had Eli, this was a team that won number of games. But they had one 10-win season, and that was Eli's last year. I think if you're Ole Miss, it's going to take a while to get back to these heights. And you know what the worst part about this is that with Juan Perko, you can explain that one, okay? With Nick Andici, you can explain that. You know, his mother wanted to play with his brother didn't want to leave Ole Miss, Robert went there, fine. Laquan Treadwell's childhood best friend was at Ole Miss, he decided he wanted to play with his best friend, fine. The one player you couldn't explain and nobody understood, and nobody had a read on him all of recruiting, I remember this, was Tunzel. Nobody had a read on where Tunzel was going. People were like, oh, Florida or Georgia, but we really don't know, right? He was in Gator territory for recruiting. The minute they got Tunzel, the red flag went up for everybody. It wasn't really Nick Andici or Treadwell, because those were easily explained. Even if they were illegal, even if there was illegal recruiting handled there, nobody really said anything. The minute they got Laramie Tunzel, everybody's red flag went up. But wait a minute, how did they get him? That kid should have gone to Florida.
Where's he from?
That kid should have gone to Georgia.
Where's
Laramie Tunzel is from Lake City, Florida, which is I mean that's more central Florida. And you know the minute that Lake City. Lake City is northern Florida. It's in between Jacksonville and Tallahassee. It's right up 75 from Gainesville. So the Tunzel, when he signed, that was the red flag because that's Gator territory. You don't walk – even that Georgia comes down there because you're right close to the Georgia line. Maybe they get him. But that was a red flag. And then when everything happened with Tunzel and his stepdad, it just, boom, the top blew. And you realize more was coming. So I think it's going to take Ole Miss 10, 15, 20 years to have another 10-win season if – and I hate saying this, but if they ever have one again.
If they ever cheat again, that's how they're going to get there. I mean, it's hard to recruit an Ole Miss. And like you said, when you see Ole Miss winning several recruiting battles on signing day, and you see teams like Alabama, LSU, Florida State, and all of a sudden these guys are picking Ole Miss, and you're like, holy crap, they just got the top three offensive linemen. You know, they received two of the best receivers in the country, two defensive linemen. You're like, what's going on? And I knew at that time, It's not Hugh Freeze's great coaching ability. Somebody got tired of losing. They're tired of seeing Alabama win. They're tired of losing to Mississippi State. But, I mean, and here's the deal. I'll give Ole Miss some credit for at least cheating to try to win. I'll give them that. But if Hugh Freeze was messing with prostitutes, what do you think his team was doing? I don't think Hugh Freeze let his team know he was doing that, but if he was doing that, what do you think his team was doing, and how do you think they got those recruits to come? Do you think there was some prostitution maybe involved in that, some cash? I mean, what do you think? It's going to come out.
Yeah, I mean, that has been mentioned. A lot of people, like, you think he was just calling the prostitutes for himself, and, probably not, if we're going to be completely honest. But you know, at the same time, I mean, this is somebody who had his vice, we can look at the Louisville situation and say, well, look what happened there. It was Ole Miss doing the same thing. Can we find out? Somebody want to dig into it? The thing that it was happening in Tampa, and I can't tell you the last time Ole Miss was in on a kid that was out of Tampa. That's the one that kind of that threw me off. If you had said somewhere else, I'd have been like, okay, all right, cool. I can rationalize this and say he did it for a prospect. But, and it's like, well, when's the last time Hugh Freeze was in Florida? When he was in Gainesville and then when he was in Orlando. So, and neither one of them, to be honest, is really close to Tampa. I guess Orlando's closer. It's, like 45 minutes an hour. But, So this whole thing is weird, to be completely honest. I was actually at a baseball practice all day, and I checked my phone at 9:30, and it's an eruption. And I just texted my buddy and said, what happened? And he goes, we lost Hugh Freeze forever. We can no longer laugh.
Hey, Jonathan, is there any proof? I mean, Hugh Freeze never came out. I mean, you mentioned it kind of earlier. What if he never did do anything with these prostitutes? He resigned to protect himself from having to talk about it. What if he's covering up things he did for players? And it wasn't – if he goes to his wife and says, hey, honey, I screwed up. These players, I didn't want them to get in trouble going out with these crazy other women, so I got them a couple of professionals to come in and help me recruit. Do you think that's possible at all?
It's interesting because they said the phone call only lasted about a minute. And I don't know how much conversation you can have in setting something up like that within a minute. That's not my area of expertise.
Hold on, I'll tell you. Here's what happens, Jonathan. You answer and you say, I'm like 5'10", double D, blonde, Caucasian, hang up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what heavy... Oh, Brian, hopefully your wife doesn't hear that. That's where everybody, because he said it was a misdial. because it was the Detroit area code, which I don't remember them being in on a kid from Michigan either, but it was a Detroit area code that was connected to an escort service in Tampa. So, you know, I mean, you could easily explain it as a misdial, but when the school says, hey, look, you got to go, I think that's the issue. That's where he. That's where the speculation comes out. This is on him. This is a red flag of red flags. And you know what? We actually can get rid of you without having to worry about anything. You know, it just – this situation took, you know, a left turn that I don't think anybody saw coming. I mean, it looked like Ole Miss was going to stand by Hugh Freeze and ride the storm out with him. And now,
yeah, and I wonder this: if just say Ole Miss won the SEC West last year, they were loaded this year. Do you think Hugh Freeze would be gone right now?
You know, probably not. To be completely honest, you know, hey, that's obviously something you got to look at. Where this goes is, were they kind of also just looking to? They finally had a reason to clean him without having to pay him because, I mean, he's going to make $5 million a year. This is now $5 million a year they can spend on their next head coach. And, you know, it's a very interesting situation for Ole Miss. And, you know, why were they so quick to kind of push him out once they got leverage too?
Yeah. I just think if you're winning, it's going to be hard to get fired. But I think Ole Miss was waiting out because they were hoping something would come out so they could get out of paying in that contract. Because if you look at this year, I don't care. I mean, you saw last year, 5-7. You saw this year, they're going to be probably 5-7, maybe worse now. I was thinking 6-6, but now 5-7 probably. Who are they going to get to coach this team? I mean, I hope to God they bring in somebody with some character. I mean, you've had Ed Orgeron, one of the worst coaches in football. You've had Houston Nutt. He's a used car salesman, terrible. You've had Tommy Tuberville. You've had Hugh Freeze. You've had some characters. I mean, David Cutcliffe was the only coach that had any kind of character, I think. So who do they go to? I heard Kiffin's name mentioned. I hope to God they wouldn't hire Lane Kiffin to be the coach at Ole Miss. But who do you think would take a job like this? Do you think Chip Kelly would come back and take it, or who are you looking at?
All right, so that's interesting. I was hoping you'd lead me down this path. Okay, so supposedly Les Miles' name is already in the ring because he's never had anything negative attached to him as far as that goes. His character is something that nobody's ever questioned, right? Now, the thing with Les Miles is he's still Les Miles, and this is a guy who did not get a job this past offseason because he bombed the interview process. That's what the reports are. He was not good in the interviews at all. Lane Kiffin, everybody needs to throw that name away right away. Just throw it away. His brother, who's his defensive coordinator at Florida Atlantic, was attached to at least one infraction. Lane will try and bring his brother with him if he ever, you know, wherever his next step is. I don't think Ole Miss would be receptive to having him back. A name that, being in the Tampa area, a name that's been already thrown around in a rumor, and this might throw everybody for a loop, is Charlie Strong. He just showed up at USF. I mean, he hasn't had the job for, you know, a year yet. And already, his name is being tossed around for Ole Miss. Supposedly, somebody in his camp reached out to Ole Miss and said, hey, you know, Charlie might have some interest. And obviously, you know, nobody's ever questioned Charlie Strong's character. And I thoroughly respect Charlie Strong. Now, Chip Kelly's an interesting one. I don't think Ole Miss would hire Chip Kelly. We remember how his tenure ended in Oregon, and they got hit with a sanction. Might not have been severe, but you know, you got to avoid a coach that has any kind of outside baggage. You have to avoid a coach who has any sort of baggage associated with what happens on the field. Well, not really on the field, but off the field, connected to the football program. You know, a guy that I'm looking at is somebody like Neil Brown, the head coach at Troy. He played at Kentucky, was an assistant coach at Kentucky. He's done very good things. At Troy, I think you need to look at Satterfield over at Appalachian State, look at what he's done with that program. I think they're going to go with a smaller name coach, but it's going to be somebody. It's definitely going to be somebody who has high character and high standards when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to being a man off the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's Les Miles will be interesting. But one thing I've noticed about the SEC, I've heard someone talking about this, like maybe it was Clay Travis or something, and I've heard Colin Coward mention it too. The quality of SEC coaches is down. I mean, if you look at the SEC, you have Nick Saban. And really, can you name me a superior great coach in the SEC besides Nick Saban? I really can't. I mean, Malzahn could possibly get there one day if he gets on the right track and get some breaks, but he's no Nick Saban. But you look at the Big Ten, you look at the ACC, I think there's better coaches, Jonathan. And to go get somebody from Troy, to add another coach, a no-name, a has-been, somebody not proven to the SEC, I think that's kind of risky for this conference.
I mean, no, there's no doubt that it is, but, you know, guys like Jimbo and Saban and Meyer, well, okay, so Jimbo and Saban kind of started big. Urban Meyer started at Bowling Green. You know, went to Utah, went to Florida, now is at Ohio State, right? Somebody who was unproven when Utah hired him. And, you know, Utah wasn't what Utah is, and obviously when he did at Utah, nobody knew it could translate at Florida the way it did. So I think, you know, when you're recruiting somebody who is, you know, you're going to bring in a coach who's at least coached in the SEC before, you know, as like Neil Brown, and has played there, I think that's somebody that, is, you know, warrants consideration. You know, everybody has a standard that they're all going to get the next Nick Saban. Look, that ain't how this works. You think Dabo Swinney became Dabo Swinney overnight? Dabo Swinney built up to this. There were people in Clemson who wanted Dabo Swinney fired and never wanted him hired. And now look at where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time to become. Jim Harbaugh was a no-name coach out of San Diego, the university, when Stanford hired him. You know, I mean, so sometimes you got to take the chance. And if you're Ole Miss, I think you definitely got to take a chance on somebody. Go ahead and grab a young guy like a Neil Brown and see what he can do, or a Satterfield and see what he can do. You know, I think those are guys that you should be targeting. Ole Miss needs to look at somebody who's recruits the South, knows what's going on there. They need to recruit somebody who seems like they know what they're doing. I mean, Satterfield, look at what he did at Appalachian State. His team almost beat Tennessee last year. You look at what Neil Brown's done at Troy. And that's a team that was right there on beating Clemson. I mean, these are guys that have taken talent that is inferior, quote-unquote, to what Ole Miss gets. And it's come close to taking down some big dogs, and they've won their conferences. And they've been competitive and played well. So I think, you know, you got to take a swing at somebody. Because what's Ole Miss going to do, right? You know, this is in Alabama. This is in Florida State. You know, who are they going to hire? I mean, let's just be realistic about it. You know, I heard Chad Morris's name. I'm interested in that. I almost think Morris is hanging out a little bit for, like, Texas Tech. I'm going to be completely honest.
Morris
he's
sucks.
Definitely a Texas-based coach.
Morris sucks.
I like Chad Morris.
I'm glad somebody does.
No. I mean, we'll see how this all shakes out. Because there's going to be... I guarantee you Ole Miss is not the only team in the SEC looking for a coach next year. And they're definitely not going to be the only team in the country in a Power 5 conference looking for – UCLA will probably look for a new coach after this season. You know, Tennessee could. Auburn could. I mean, if things implode, Auburn could, which
Ben wins
whatever.
Or Gus is gone. If Gus doesn't win 10 games and beat Georgia at least, he's out. If he goes 10-2 and loses to Georgia Bama, he's fired. I'm telling you. He has to win 10 games. He has to beat Georgia or Alabama. And I'm telling you, Tennessee, I don't know, Butch Jones. I mean, I looked at his quarterback. I looked at the ratings of quarterbacks in the SEC. It looked like Tennessee was 13th out of 14. If that's the case, Tennessee's going to go, what, 6-6? Do you think with a quarterback like that, maybe 7-5, is that going to be enough to keep Butch Jones? I mean,
no.
Tennessee's
I mean,
a big job to me. I think people have underestimated Tennessee the job. I mean, think about, Jonathan, the facilities, the tradition. Tennessee's a big job. It's probably a top 10 job in the country. So how are we going to get a top 10 coach?
I don't know about top 10, but it's definitely in the upper echelon.
Top 15. Top 15.
Sure, you can talk me into that. You can definitely talk. I mean, but is Notre Dame going to need a new coach next year? And if things shake out, like, might NC State need a new coach next year? I mean, you know, if NC State makes noise this year, Dave Doran could move on. You know, I've heard Todorah linked to Ole Miss at North Carolina. You know, there's going to be some big schools looking for another head coach, too. So Ole Miss is not just battling themselves. They're battling the field.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, timing's everything, because Ole Miss could find them a decent coach if situation's right. But if they get in a position where LSU's looking for a coach, Tennessee, Florida, all these other schools are looking for coaches, then they're in trouble, because that's the thing. And I wonder if Bob Stoops would come back and take on a big job. Like, just say if Bob Stoops came back, do you think he would go to Tennessee? Do you think he would go somewhere like that? Because, I don't know, he's a pretty good coach. I'm not a big Bob Stoops fan, but the guy won, and he won consistently, and he lost consistently, too. Every year he's going to lose a couple games that he shouldn't. But do you think he's done?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Bob Stoops comes back to coaching. I firmly believe that his retirement is final. You know, I think he just had his fill. And you know what? Hats off to him. He had a great career. He got a little good life. You know, I don't think Bob Stoops. Oh, no doubt. I mean, I don't think Stoops comes out of retirement for anything. You know, if he wouldn't leave Oklahoma for Florida, he's not going nowhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I just still would like to know what happened. I mean, you can say all you want, family. It just didn't seem right. It just did not sound right when he left.
I think he had a health scare. I don't think anybody's talking about it, but I think he had a health scare.
That sounds, his wife's like, look, we've got millions and millions of dollars in the bank right now. What do you want? You've already got a championship. You've got a Heisman Trophy. I mean, what do you want? And I think, like, I want to spend time with it. Isn't his kids starting high school, really, and playing football?
Yes.
And he wanted to be around them?
Yes. And,
so,
you know, everybody.
He's better to coach you than your dad.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, and you know, because his son, I believe, is going to be a freshman this year. I could be wrong. I know he's in high school. And then, you know, and his dad died at I think it was 54, as a high school coach, did a heart attack on the sideline. And they said that's always weighed heavy on Bob. And I think he had a point where he looked at his age and went, I never thought I'd be coaching this long. B, I don't want to become my dad. And I want to enjoy this time with my son. I want to enjoy this time with my family. I'm hitting, you know, the second half of my life. And, you know, we have the money. We're set up. We're good. The kids are good. You know, let's really spend this together and have fun. I don't think anything negative happened to Bob. I think everything with Bob was personal reasons. And I respect the fact that Bob Stoops.
Yeah.
Now, I kept calling him Bob, but I feel bad about that. But with Coach Stoops, I think everything came down to personal reasons, family choices, what matters most to him. And I respect that so much, because you knew when he did it, as soon as he retired, nobody questions it. Everybody's like, he's retired. That's kind of it. We accept it. Thank you for gracing us on the sidelines for so many years and coaching kids and winning games and bringing joy to people and pain to others like me. You know, we appreciate what you brought. We're like Hugh Freeze. You're like, well, you're leaving in the middle of a stink storm. And you know, even Urban Meyer retired and said it was health reasons. And I'm not coaching. Nobody believed him. And with Bob Stoops, it actually felt genuine.
I know, and I've talked bad about Bob Stoops, and just one thing, I mean, I don't like him, I never will, but you got to respect it. You got to respect the fact that the guy wouldn't back down from anybody. He took his shot at the SEC. He beat the SEC. He beat Saban. He beat Malzahn. He'd play whoever. And the lead with the quarterback he's got in his arsenal, that takes, I mean, I think it made a point to his family, too. He said, look, I'm serious about this. It's not all about football. It's not because I'm going to go 6-6 and get fired. I'm leaving this program in great hands. And I think Lincoln Riley, I mean, sometimes I wasn't ready for the job I got, Jonathan. I took a chance. You know, if you're ready for every job, that's impossible.
Right, I agree. You know, he left Lincoln Riley, you know, a well-stocked ship and said, look, you know, I wasn't going to leave you high and dry, figure it out. First year, we're going to struggle. Fans are going to call for your head. Like, I'm going to leave you a good setup here. And that because I care about you. As a professional, I care about you as the person. You know, because I heard that a big thing with Bob Stoops was that he would schedule family time for his coaches. Like, you know, during the week,
yeah.
He'd be like, okay, we're done today. Spend the rest of your family. No football. We're done with football. And they said family was very important to him. And that's one thing assistants love, but not just the assistants, but, you know, the wives and the kids and the family. That's why he was so loved by everybody that coached for him and played for him, was that he cared about not just you and what you can do for him, but he cared about you and what you do and who you are and who's around you. And I think that's why, you know, is he my favorite coach? No. My school went 0-3 against him and lost the national championship game to him. He's not my favorite coach. I don't really like him. He came from the University of Florida, but he was the defensive coordinator of a team that beat us for another national title. You know, but I respect Bob Stoops, the person. No doubt about that.
Yeah, you got him. Sorry, my phone cut out. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, Jonathan, we were talking about Bob, but Gus Malzahn, we're talking about him too. I don't know. I'm mixed about him leaving if he doesn't perform. I know you like Auburn this year. I like him. But I just want to talk 2 seconds about them. I was looking over Auburn's schedule. And you know when Auburn's played their best, Jonathan, it's about when October gets, you know, like teams usually start out slow, right? You know, like the Auburn teams seem to start out kind of slow and they get their rhythm about October. I was looking at the first 6 games for Auburn. If they get past Clemson and Missouri on the road, I think they've got a legitimate shot to be 6-0 heading into Baton Rouge on October 14th. That big 3-game road trip to LSU, Arkansas, A&M back-to-back-to-back with a bye weekend, if the offense is clicking in October, it's going to be dangerous, man. I just want to throw that out there. That's why I guess Malzahn could lose his job. If he loses to Clemson and LSU and all of a sudden he splits Georgia and Alabama, I think he's gone, Jonathan. I don't know maybe how you feel about it, but Malzahn could be gone and Chip Kelly could be coming in.
I have Chip Kelly earmarked for UCLA. Just being honest, I have him earmarked. I think at this point I think he's a West Coast guy at UCLA. You know, he's kind of gonna be able to run what he wants to do, and nobody's gonna think twice about it. I really honestly believe he's earmarked there for Auburn. If Gus were to implode this year and you were to bring in a new coach, I don't even know where I'd begin. I really don't. I mean, could you somehow convince Jeremy Pruitt to jump on board as your head coach? That would be something.
So, well, isn't it? I mean, it's not crazy to think that just say Auburn is 9-3. I think changing the coach sometimes can be very painful. It can be starting over. But if you look at Gus, what he's done year after year, he's recruited top 10 classes. And the years he struggled, or underachieved, I would say, is when the quarterback situation wasn't good. We saw what he could do with Marshall and Newton. And then we saw what he could do with Jeremy Johnson that was not very good. Sean Clark last year was doing amazing. Those 6 games when Petway came in, starting on the road at Mississippi State, they were damn near unbeatable. with that offense going. And if you have a healthy Shaun White in there, you have Petway, just say he was healthy, Kerryon was banged up. But if they could have won early in the season against Clemson, hell, this is a 10-2 ball club, John. And this is, and now you look this year with a much more favorable schedule, the Georgia and Bama at home, Clemson early in the season without the quarterback. I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for Auburn. So Gus Malzahn, I think, has done a very good job, especially with recruiting, but also hiring coaches. So I just want to throw that out there. That's a part of coaching that gets overlooked, Jonathan, is hiring coaches. How do you hire coaches when they turn over so much? And I think he's done a great job, especially on the defensive side of the ball, letting those guys go and letting them work.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said when it comes to a football coach, if you're an offensive coach and you want to run the offense, cool. Hire a defensive coordinator you trust and let him run that show. And we're a defensive coach, you know, vice versa. And the fact that he's let his defense be controlled by the defensive coordinator, I think, is made big strides. Now, there are times where I think coaches, head coaches need to step back a little bit and trust their coordinators a little more. This is what Gus does. You know, same thing that Jimbo does. You know, these guys run their offense. It's what they do. Whatever, it works. But you're right. Gus has had some issues with the quarterback play. There's no doubt about that. And it'll be interesting to see what he can get out of Jarrett Stidham this year, because we all know Jarrett Stidham's talented. We all believe he's going to be really good in this offense. Now, can this offense get gelling and get going with Stidham? And you know, I mean, if they can, I know the track record of going into LSU and winning has not actually just going on the road
it
in general
changes.
In the series. Yeah, I mean, 15 of the last 17, the home teams won between these two. You know, but that's obviously that's your water test. I mean, Clemson's big. You get by Clemson, okay, Auburn's for real. You lose to Clemson, we're still like, what are they, right? You beat LSU, all right. You know, you're 7-0, these are some big boys. If you're 5-2, okay, they're good enough to be in second place.
Yeah, Auburn can lose to Clemson. You know, you're still wondering if they're clicking, and it could happen. The first few three games of the season mean nothing, Jonathan, as long as you don't lose two of them. I mean, you know, if Auburn comes in there and they go into LSU 5-1, they beat them, shit, they're rolling. They're undefeated in the SEC, and they're going to get some momentum. That doesn't mean anything. Ask Ohio State. Early in the season doesn't mean anything. Obviously, it did for Penn State last year. But, you know, you can lose. It's not bad to lose to Clemson the second game of the season. But if you lose that sixth game, seventh game to LSU on the road, that's where the problem is. Let's bring in Auburn, Notre Dame fan himself, Mr. Quinn Thomas. Quinn, I'm sure you want to chime in on what we're doing. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Yeah,
what's your comment?
I think he has to have 9 wins or better. I feel like if he gets 9 wins and wins the bowl game, I feel like that'd be good enough. I don't know if he has
so
to go 10-2.
So if he loses to Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama and goes 9-3, you think he's got a job next year?
I do.
I don't. But I hope I'm wrong. I don't want to start over. There's not a coach out there that I would want instead of Gus Malzahn right now, and I'm serious. I mean, maybe
I agree.
Stupidity on my part, but who are you going to hire? I like consistency. Eventually, Gus Jones, he showed you in 2010, he was the reason for that championship, really, and Nick Fairley and Cam Newton. But in 13, he turned around a 3-9 team, got them to the championship. And it's just, I mean, they haven't sucked. I mean, they've disappointed. They've had some expectations. But you think about it, Gus Malzahn, when he's got a quarterback, there's no better play caller. But Chip Lindsey is the wild card, Quinn. I think that's the reason for Auburn's offense this year. It's going to be Chip Lindsey's play calling, using the running back out of the backfield and the vertical passing game, that I think is going to make Gus Malzahn look very good this year.
I agree. I agree with that. And I think Chip Lindsey is a little more unpredictable than Gus. I think he can throw more things at you. And with Stidham at quarterback, I think he's going to use Stidham's ability to his full advantage with the play calling, so it'll be more unpredictable.
Yeah, he was taking fifth-string quarterbacks, Jonathan, actually surviving at Arizona State. But, Quinn, real quick, what do you think of Hugh Freeze? What went on at Ole Miss? I was shocked that this guy was prostitutes. I never saw that coming.
I don't know. Nothing really shocks me with people anymore, so I don't know. It's kind of weird when I got the notification that the reason why he resigned was because of prostitution. At first, I thought it was because of, like, the allegations, and that's why he resigned. But prostitution, that's kind of crazy. But I wasn't that surprised.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, back to Auburn real quick. Jonathan, I want you to chime in. I've heard, and there could be some possible, these kids these days, not just at Auburn, I'm familiar with Auburn more than I am any other school. There's some marijuana usage going on a lot, Jonathan, where these guys are having to go to rehab. There's several Auburn players that I'm hearing having to go to rehab to get off this marijuana. I don't know if you've heard anything like that, or is it a problem at Florida State?
Define problem.
I think it's a millennial thing. I think it's a culture thing. I think we're kind of old school. I am, and you look back at it, these kids think there's nothing wrong with it. And I think that's their normal way of life. Am I right or wrong? Are they right or wrong? Who knows? But all I know is coaches, they have a problem on their hands right now with these kids.
Well, I don't want to make I don't like to delve into politics too much, but look, marijuana should be legal.
Right.
Yeah, right. I mean, look, I don't smoke. I also don't drink. But I do believe that marijuana should be legal and should be regulated the same way alcohol is. They both, to me, the side effects are similar. Marijuana being that it is naturally grown, it's kind of like alcohol. Anyways, is it an issue? Yeah, it can be. Yeah, of course, because it's not legal. In most states, you gotta have self-control to realize that. I mean, you look at the Randy Gregory situation and the Josh Gordon situation, where it's like you guys could stop smoking pot for like a year, so you can make your millions of dollars. And that's kind of sad. You're gonna tell me it's not addictive? Well, no, obviously it is. Or else you wouldn't pass up millions of dollars to get high.
Thank you.
I think anything's addictive. Let me just put that out there. But, there's the marijuana truthers out there, the pot truthers. If weed's not addictive, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah? Yeah, if you go a day without smoking, what happens? Well, I'm a little edgy. Oh, that sounds like you're addicted to it, because, like, if I go a day without my tobacco, I get a little edgy. I know people who go without a drink for a day, they get a little edgy, So, the players need to have some self-control. Now, Florida State's issues usually tend not to be with weed. You got to worry more about the players being at bars. I'm never surprised whenever I hear about, oh, this
punch
kid got
women, punch the women in the face at a bar like Florida State.
Thanks, Brian. No, that happened. I saw Last Chance You
this week. It came out Friday. I saw a couple episodes. I saw your boy Johnson there, the one that hit that girl. So let's watch it.
I need to go ahead and watch that. Maybe I'll get that done tonight or tomorrow. Is it an issue? Well, it's an issue because it's not legal and you can get in trouble for it, okay? So you need to have some self-control, and a lot of these players don't have any self-control. And marijuana's not a millennial thing. People think it is, but we forget about the 60s generation and how they all smoke pot, too. I know people who are twice as old as me who enjoy smoking weed, and you're just kind of like, all right, I didn't expect it, but fine, whatever. That's you. You do you. You want to drink? That's fine. I don't drink. I no alcohol. Keep it away. 358 days now. So I think I honestly think that the coaches need to find a way to get this under control, or, and I hate saying this, they need to go ahead and just not put the onus on it. You know, don't suspend a kid for smoking weed. If you're not going to try and get under control, then you can't punish them for it. That's where coaches got to find the line and juggle it.
Well, I think these players came and said, "Look, we're having a problem with this," and they offer and tell them, you know, that's what I think is going on. And how are you going to suspend a kid for coming to you to help? You know, like. So you got to respect that. Hopefully they will. But, hey, one thing I want to talk about tonight, too, and tonight, 9 o'clock, everybody, I hope you all are ready to watch Game of Thrones. Episode 2 is coming out tonight. Quinn, I'm sure you don't watch TV. Jonathan, you don't watch Game of Thrones?
No, I do not. I've been meaning to get into it, but
God,
I just, it's on the back burner.
God, it's a great show, Quinn. You need to get in there, man. Get in there and binge watch it, man. Just do it. O.J. Simpson. I know Quinn doesn't care about O.J. I don't even think you were alive, Quinn, when O.J. was driving the Bronco, were you? Down the interstate.
That was 93, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that was 2 years before I was born. Yeah.
But, I mean, O.J., man, this bothers me. Look, the guy killed two people. If you're stupid enough, and I've seen people make this a racial thing, oh, O.J.'s innocent, he's getting... No, O.J.'s not. He's a murderer. He killed two people, chopped their damn heads off. Okay? He's not innocent. The fact that he's getting out of prison right now is insane. The fact that he got off with murder is insane. The fact that he went to prison for stealing something is stupid. So, Jonathan, I don't know what you think about O.J. Simpson, but the guy should be—he should have received the death penalty. Let's just be honest and call a spade a spade. The guy's a murderer. He's violent. He shouldn't be out. He's a psychopath, man.
I mean, whatever O.J. did, that's on him. He's got to sleep with it. You know, when he gets to purgatory and they tell him whether he's going up or down, I'm pretty sure up is not going to be an option. You know, I mean, his last crime, look, you know, oh, he stole his own stuff back. Okay, fine. You did it at gunpoint. Issue number one. So let's just, you know, issue number two is you did it to a guy who was in a wheelchair. So, yeah, no, you deserve to go to jail for that. I mean, if there's anything that O.J. did that I can for sure, without a doubt, say you should be in jail forever. You know, he made the Kardashians, like, famous, and that's an issue. But, you know, my issue with the whole O.J. thing was, like, you could bet on whether or not he was going to get paroled, and ESPN covered it, and this was a big thing. And now there's talks of him getting a TV show. I'm like, why won't people just go away? Like, O.J. just needs to go away. There is nothing he can do. Nothing he can do. And the limelight. Nothing to where he looks good. He cannot recover his image. He cannot make himself like
terrible.
Go away. Go into hiding. Move to, I don't care where, some deserted island. Build a nice house, live in seclusion. I don't want to see or hear about him, unfortunately, until he passes, because there's nothing. The majority of America does not know O.J. the football player, and that's a shame because he was a great football player. And that's the issue I have with O.J. Simpson.
If I was the parents of either Nicole or what's the other guy's name, I would saw his head off as soon as he got out of prison. Yeah, I would be out there waiting with a machine gun to fall or something, and I'd cut his head off, Quinn. So I wouldn't even play with him. I would say, you know what? I don't have much time left anyway, so I'm going to kill this sorry son of a bitch and then do what you want to after that. But anybody that killed my family, and was sitting there walking away with it and getting off scot-free, he would not make it another day in this earth, I'm telling you. Regardless of the consequences I had to face, it wouldn't matter. Quinn, your thoughts?
Yeah, and it'll be I'm interested to see if he can stay out of trouble. Because I think you are right. I think he kind of is a psychopath. I mean, the guy said for Pete's sake that he's not black, he's O.J. Simpson. I mean, he doesn't even have the black community behind him anymore because of that statement whenever he said it. But I don't know, a lot of people that said at that here parole say that he sounded the same as he always had, arrogant, you know, thinking he's above everyone. And then he started really getting defensive towards the whoever during that hearing trial. And I don't know, it'll just be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I agree with Jonathan about he should go into hiding and he should just go chill out and be with his family.
And the guy said he said, I've never had a life in conflict and never did anything like that. Really, he saw two people take off. And you've never been in conflict. Said he was a mediator in prison, John. He would be the mediator of people in prison. I mean, my God. Guy actually believed it. And that's the sad part. I mean, what is it called when you believe your own lies, really, and you're delusional? What is another word for it where you've actually manipulated yourself into believing this stuff about yourself? I mean, God,
yeah.
I'm just blown away. But for people to make this a racial thing really bothers me. It has nothing to do with race.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I hate when people try to really be create divisiveness just for the sake of doing it. And the easiest way, unfortunately, to do it is you're either going to go politically or you're going to go racially. And a lot of people went racially and tried to be divisive about it. And it's a shame that people felt that it was necessary to do that. And, it is what it is. I could really care about
talking about this loser. Let's not waste too much time talking about this loser anymore. Yeah, hopefully somebody will saw his head off. So let's move on. We got a few more minutes left. We have to talk about the ACC Coastal Division like we promised. We were going to do that last weekend. We didn't, but here we are. Sorry, I got a bad stomach virus. The whole family got sick, and my son brought a bad virus home from school, and it damn near killed us. So glad we're alive here. Sullivan turned six months today, so he's getting big.
Hey. Happy birthday, little son. Oh, I guess happy half birthday, Sully.
Yeah, happy 6 months. He's sitting up on his own now, which is amazing. Yeah, he's just growing, man. And he's going to be, me and him will be watching the Auburn Tigers play on the TV. Well, what is it, September 2nd? So it'll be our first football game together, watching college football. So hopefully God will give him a good game and a reason to cheer. But, you know, we're going to step outside the SEC tonight and head on over to the ACC. And we talked about the Atlantic Division last time. And we all thought that it was that team you have to watch out for. All of us like Florida State, I believe, Louisville, Clemson, NC State, along with those teams, could get in there. But we all agree Wake Forest, Syracuse, and Boston College all suck, and they're going nowhere. So let's move over to the Coastal Division. I don't think it'll be as dramatic here in the Coastal. Usually this is probably the best division race to the finish with Miami, Virginia Tech, Pitt, Georgia Tech, Carolina. You know, Duke and Virginia aren't that good. But Jonathan, this is the Coastal Division with the Miami Hurricane. It seems like that the media out there, they just are going ahead and putting Miami in that game. in that ACC championship game. I'm not sold on Miami just yet.
Who's their quarterback going to be? That's what a lot of people seem to keep forgetting. Well, look at their defense. Look at this. Who's their quarterback? The guy who attempted four passes last year. That's what we're rolling with. That's the thing with Miami is that everybody's trying to anoint them without knowing really who's going to be the quarterback. And look, I get it. At the same point in time, Virginia Tech. Who's your quarterback going to be? You're not going to have experience coming back there. Pittsburgh, same thing. North Carolina loses Trubisky. Yeah, they bring in Brandon Harris, but is he actually going to start? George Tech, who's your quarterback going to be? You lost Justin Thomas and Matthew Jordan. He's hurt. Duke has a good quarterback in Daniel Jones. Virginia sucks. We don't really care.
Hey, Jonathan, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was I muted that whole time?
No, I heard you. Just went off about
okay.
5 seconds there. You said Virginia sucks, and that's the last thing I heard.
Oh, yeah, no, we needed a pause there. Just make sure that sank in. I'll say it again. Virginia is terrible. They're awful. Virginia will not go bowling this year. Bank it now. I mean, this is a 16 division race because Duke's the only one returning a quarterback that we know is competent. Georgia Tech's funky. When you don't have expectations for them, they show up. When you do, they fall apart. You look at 2015. You look at 2014. No expectations. 11 wins. 2015 expectations 3. Last year no expectations 9. So, everybody's kind of stuck looking like maybe they'll be something, maybe they won't. We don't know. North Carolina, Brandon Harris. Are we really banking on Brandon Harris to guide you to another ACC championship game? I don't know about that one. Pittsburgh, your defense wasn't that good. You lost James Conner. You lose Peterman. What are you going to do? Virginia Tech loses Gerard Evans. And Miami loses Kaya. Like, in AC Coastal, you're not, your best quarterback was on the team that went 4-8 last year.
So how much better is this division than it was last year, in your opinion?
I don't think it's better this year. I just think it's more confusing this year, to be honest. Last year, when you had Kaya and Trubisky and Evans and Peterman, Justin Thomas, God, I would never forget him from Georgia Tech. I mean, you look at this division, you're like, wow, look at the quarterback talent. This is going to be fun offensively. Now you're looking at it, you're like, okay, Miami's defense should be really good. Virginia Tech's defense should be good. Pitt's defense should be improved. North Carolina's defense should be improved. Duke, we're not sure. Georgia Tech, okay, we expect them to have a decent defense. So yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot defense. I think what you're gonna see this year in the AC Coastal is road games are gonna matter. Miami's got 3. They gotta go to Duke on Friday night, Pittsburgh on the Friday night after Thanksgiving, and they gotta go to North Carolina, right? You look at Virginia Tech, and they gotta go to Miami, they gotta go to Georgia Tech, and East Carolina, which teams should really start scheduling them. Pitt's got to go to Penn State. They've got to go to Georgia Tech. They've got to go to Syracuse. They've got to go to Virginia Tech. They've got to go to Duke. North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Pitt. I mean, Pitt on a Thursday night, NC State. A lot of these teams, if you can win your road games, that's going to be huge this year. I think what's going to wind up happening is a lot of people are giving teams edges because of their home schedules. Honestly, I believe Miami gets an edge because their tough road games are North Carolina, Pitt, and Duke. Once you get past Florida State, which is their only way. Mm-hmm. So Miami can find a way just to sneak their way in because their schedule should be the easiest.
But what kind of home field advantage is Miami now, really?
None.
Not.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely 100% none.
Yeah, and it's like if you're playing, I think most of their games are road games, honestly. I mean, even though they're in their backyard, there's more visiting fans than there are home fans. Unless Florida State's in town or somebody like that, then all the bandwagon fans will come and throw crap onto the field when they get beat. But you know, I mean, Miami is Miami. I don't think Mark Richt – I mean, look at all the talent he had at Georgia. Every year he had top 10 recruiting classes, some of the best quarterbacks, still no SEC championships, no championships of any kind. So what makes you think that he's going to go to the ACC and actually win anything? That's what confuses me. I mean, he had the talent at Georgia, Quinn. He had all the talent at Georgia. There's no excuse for him not having two or three SEC championships. He had zero. He choked every year. So he's going to choke this year, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Richard is a bad coach, but he's not a really good coach. He's a good coach that can have 9 to 8 wins and maybe 10 wins with a bowl win. And that's what he is. And I think people expect more out of him. Well, that's just what he is. I mean, he'll get you 8 to 10 wins a year, but he probably won't ever get you a conference championship. I mean, maybe every once in a while you might get to the Orange Bowl or something, but you'll probably never win a conference championship and will probably never make it to the playoff.
No, especially with Florida State and the Atlantic, you have to go through them twice. So, I mean, if Miami's going to win, they're going to have to play Florida State twice probably. They have to beat Clemson or Louisville. They're not going to do it. NC State, and not only that, their own division, Virginia Tech and Pitt and North Carolina, Jonathan, are getting better. Georgia Tech, you know, let's not forget about them. That's a team you have to watch out for this year if they can win this division.
Yeah, I mean, the Coastal, I honestly could see like a 3-team tie at the top, 4-team. I mean, I think it's going to be really – it is. Like you said, this is a division that always seems to come down to the wire. It's a race to the finish. I think it's going to be that once again this upcoming year. And look, my thing with Miami, I get it. I'm a Florida State fan, so I'm biased. Yeah, whatever. You know, yeah, Pac fan. All right, my thing with Miami is they've never made it. Every time people think Miami is going to get there, they find a way to slip up. So until Miami proves it to me they can get to the ACC championship game, I don't believe they will.
That's a good way to look at it. I mean, I just don't – I could never imagine Miami making the playoffs or making the – I mean, they may make the ACC championship, but that's not really saying much, honestly. That's like winning the SEC East. It's not really – who cares, really? I mean, all it means is you're going to get skull-drugged in the championship game. That's what it means. If you win the East or you win the Coastal, it means you're going to get your brains beat out by the other division. So, Miami, do they play anybody out of conference really this year? Let's talk about their schedule, because that's the interesting team in this division that everybody wants to talk about. So the Miami Hurricanes schedule, let's look at that real quick and kind of go through. Usually they don't even leave the state. I mean, but I think this year they're going to Arkansas State. So they have two games in a row. Bethune-Cookman to start out with. I mean, is that a high school team or a junior college? Where is that?
Bethune-Cookman is a HBCU located in Daytona, and they are not. No, that's going to be a rout. They beat them 45-0 in 2015, and they beat them 38-10 in 2012.
Well, the game's televised on RSN, whatever that is. What the hell kind of network is that?
Regional Sports Network.
Okay, I've never heard of it, but now that you said that, I have. At Arkansas State the next week, that could be kind of tricky.
They have to go to Arkansas State. They couldn't get a legit home and home. They have to go to Arkansas State. They went to Appalachian State next last year, and they have to go to Arkansas State. Oh, my God. You think Florida State would ever go there? No.
See, I think game day, the second week is going to be in Clemson, for Auburn, Clemson. The third week, I think they're going to be in Tallahassee for the Miami-Florida State game. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, even if Florida State loses to Alabama, if they keep it close, they don't get their head kicked in. You know what? You're the only one believing that as this group of three, and I really mean that. So I think it could. It's such a big rivalry game that you know it's going to be an ABC. It's already going to be the 8 o'clock game. Like let's not play games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Toledo, they come back and play Toledo at home, at Duke, bye week, Georgia Tech at home, Syracuse at home, at North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Virginia. I mean, that's a three-game stretch right there. Virginia Tech at home, Notre Dame at home, and Virginia in the home stretch win. I mean, Notre Dame's got a good chance right there to go into – I mean, this is not the old Miami-Notre Dame games we saw back in the 80s, 90s, but you know, Notre Dame's got a chance this time of year to knock Miami out of some kind of hunt, especially a playoff hunt.
Yeah. And I actually see Notre Dame winning that game. I see Miami beating Virginia Tech the week before, so I think they'll be on a high. And, again, Notre Dame had one of those close losses to them last year in Notre Dame, so I think Notre Dame will be looking to avenge that game, and I think Notre Dame will get it done.
Okay. You know, cheating, you know, we talk about Florida State. I mean, Jonathan, they got the 2, 3, and 5 player in the country in 17. What kind of cheating is there in the ACC?
You know, yeah, as we like to say in the ACC, it's just me. Oh, wait, no, that's the SEC. We're just better than you. There we go. That's our phrase. Instead of it just means more, we're just better than you. I mean, look, you look at Miami's schedule. You got a tough Florida State game. You got to come home and play Toledo, and Toledo's actually a good ball club. Then you got to go to Duke on a Friday night, which doesn't sound that fun, to be honest. You got to
I have them losing that.
Quinn, I appreciate you. I really do. any Miami loss is a good loss. Then they come home from Georgia Tech on a Thursday night. That's definitely an advantage, especially since they are 7-1 against Georgia Tech in a lot of state games. You're home for Syracuse. They'll win that game. You're at North Carolina. The road teams tend to struggle in that series. You come home from Virginia Tech, which, by the way, I don't know who scheduled this, but Virginia Tech's homecoming this year, that was dumb. Your homecoming, somebody was like, yeah, we're the Virginia school. And somebody decided, oh, okay, we'll do it for Virginia. No. Homecoming should have been Virginia. You kind of screwed that up, guys. Hats off.
That's kind of like Florida scheduling LSU for homecoming.
Yeah, just not your best moment, was it? You know, then, like we said, they get to play Notre Dame, who they haven't beaten in what feels like forever. Then you get Virginia, which should be homecoming. Still, by the way, my favorite Miami-Virginia game, 2008, when they beat Virginia shut down the Orange Bowl. 07 or 08, shut down the Orange Bowl, beat them 48-0. Still my favorite Miami-Virginia game. But, and then you close the year at Pitt on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I mean, this is a schedule that can be very tough. There's definitely some tricks in it. You know, you have four road games that can trip you up, definitely. One that will. You have another one that you're like, wait, where did this game come from? You have four home games where, you know, this should be a good contest. I feel Miami's ceiling really is 9-3. Unless this quarterback that steps in, which, I, you know, from everything I'm hearing, should be Malik Rozier, who was the backup last year. But, you know, whoever the backup that steps in, unless he lights the road on fire, I feel their ceiling is 9-3. And I feel like 3 losses in conference is very probable. It's a team that could easily go 8-4.
Yeah, I'm picking 9-3, 8-4. But, I mean, am I crazy to pick Virginia Tech to win this division?
That's what
no.
I have one in it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Virginia Tech. They got the West Virginia game start of the year Sunday night. in Maryland. Delaware Blue Hens come to town the following week. But their road games at East Carolina, at Boston College, at Miami, at Georgia Tech, and at Virginia, that's not too terrible. They got Clemson at home. They don't play Florida, and who else? They don't play Louisville. So that's not too bad, is it, Jonathan? Or excuse me, Quinn, let me go to you. You look at Virginia Tech's schedule, not having to play Louisville and Florida State out of the ACC is kind of a shot in the arm, isn't it? I mean, it kind of gives you a little confidence. Say you lose to Clemson, oh well, but you may not at being at home. But looking at those road games, I can see Virginia Tech winning all of them.
I agree with you, and I have them. Well, like I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I have Virginia Tech going 11-1, and I could see myself whiffing on that, but I don't see them losing more than four games. So I have a bunch of teams in this Coastal at 8-4. So I'm Miami at 8-4. So even if I whiff with the 11-1, I think between 9 to 11 wins is what they'll have. So regardless, I think they'll win the Coastal. Plus, you look at the difficulty of this road game. So like the stadium atmosphere. I mean, Georgia Tech, Virginia, and East Carolina are probably the toughest road atmospheres they'll be going into, which isn't saying much.
Yeah, I went to Georgia Tech game. I thought I was in the damn 8th grade Gem 3 game. Home field advantage. I mean, Georgia Tech. I mean, one thing about Georgia Tech is that their quarterback we interviewed on this show coming out of high school, he signed with Georgia Tech, and so I hope he wins. But so Quinn, if Virginia Tech goes 11-1 and they win the ACC, do they beat Florida State, Clemson, somebody, do they go to the playoff?
No, I don't think they'll win the ACC championship game. But if they do what I think they could do, then I think they could get in the Big Six Bowl. I think they could get into one of those.
I think a 12-1 Virginia Tech team ACC champion, Jonathan, is going to be in the Final Four. I mean, that's because they've got some big wins. It depends on who they lose to, really. If they lose to Clemson and would beat everybody else, it depends on really how these other teams are. But if they are 11-1, Jonathan, and they end up beating Florida State at the end of the season, a team that they haven't played that season, it'd be hard to hold them out with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you know, this is a schedule that – obviously, you know, Billy does them no favors. You know, you get to play West Virginia right off the bat, big rivalry game. You know, you got to go to East Carolina, who they've lost two of the past three against. East Carolina, very pesky team. They really enjoy it when they play Virginia Tech and North Carolina State. Those teams always good games. The one that I think everybody remembers is when they played them right – it was the open of the season after that big shooting. You know, then you gotta go to Clemson 2 weeks after that. That's gonna be a tough end. You know, and you have to go to Boston College, who they have a clear advantage over now. I mean, remember when Boston College and Virginia Tech were the two best teams in the ACC at one point? you get North Carolina's homecoming. I mean, whatever. You know, they're probably gonna beat Duke. You gotta go to Miami. I mean, Like you got to talk about, is that really a tough road atmosphere? No. Then you got to go to Georgia Tech next week. Tough road atmosphere? No. And, you know, the Tech schools going ahead always tend to be fun. You bring home for Pittsburgh, who I think they'll beat. And then you got to go to Virginia, who they've beaten 13 years in a row. And I don't see that streak stopping. So looking at Virginia Tech, I really think they top out closer to 10-2, I think, is their ceiling. But this is the team that I think will win the ACC Coastal.
Hey, what is North Carolina doing going on the road at Old Dominion? I mean, my God, is the ACC that bad that they have to go road games to these high schools?
Well, so what happens this is what I've been informed of, is that teams like North Carolina and Miami and Oklahoma State, you know, to get these lower tier programs to play them, and not just do a one-time money grab. We got to pay so much. They do a two-for-one. So North Carolina will get two home games against Old Dominion, and then they got to play one at their place. And it's a way for the schools not to spend as much money on scheduling the games.
Yeah.
But
it's awesome, isn't it, to have a – if you're an Old Dominion fan, I mean, I know North Carolina is not Florida State, but if you're an Old Dominion season ticket holder, I think it's nice to have a game like that for your ticket holders. I mean, you may get your ass kicked, but at least the fans can come in and see a big-time team play you. And I'd like to see Auburn do that some and play these teams that, you know, you play Mercer or something. Hell, go to Mercer and play. Give their fans a chance to see a real football team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, North Carolina's previous matchup, I mean, I love the idea of that. It's just North Carolina last time played Old Dominion was 2013. It was the only time, my bad. They played 2013. That was Old Dominion's first year and at the FBS level. And North Carolina dropped 80 on them. So Old Dominion's obviously a better team now. They got a good coach in Bobby Wather. I think that I don't think they're gonna beat them 80-20 like they did then. But you know, like you said, at the same time, you know, I mean, it's cool to see teams like you said go on road trips like this. You know, if you're a season ticket holder Old Dominion, it's kind of cool to get the season ticket back and to go, oh, we got North Carolina State at home this year. You know, that's pretty neat. That'll be an interesting game to see. And you know, if we win, wow. If we lose, I mean, you know, where we expected to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though, man. College football, Quinn, is coming back. I mean, I cannot believe that we're a month away from football. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the Game of Thrones is actually helping me a little bit get through. You know, when Game of Thrones ends, football will be back. So, I mean, well, what do you do, Quinn, to pass on before football starts? What do you do when you're jonesing for that game and it's 3 weeks away? Well, how are you going to handle it?
Well, I follow so many sports that I've been able to hold off on me really wanting it till like mid-August, where I won't get a serious itch for it till mid-August. I learned just from a couple of years ago that if you start jonesing for it too early, it seems like time seems to last forever. So I just don't think about it too much, and I just follow all the other sports that I like that are going on. So normally I'll start getting the itch like mid-August when like we're a week or two out.
Well, I'm itching right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jonathan, I mean, it's just I cannot wait. I think Hard Knocks comes on in a couple weeks. It'll be here. I think the first week of August, but it's on, man. When does training camp start? Doesn't it start like next week?
I think players reported this week.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just, and the thing is, and everybody overlooks it, I mean, we love college football. There's no doubt about it. But that NFL football is getting, how do you miss it? I mean, I'm having to pay hundreds of, which I haven't. They've been giving it to me free, but I mean, you got to pay a lot of money to get the Red Zone channel and all the NFL games, a Sunday ticket, Jonathan. I love NFL, but I don't think I'm going with a Sunday ticket this year.
I don't really care anymore. The NFL's lost my interest for the most part. I barely watch Bucks games as is. So, you know, on Sundays, I tend to actually, like, go do things now.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I got the ticket, and it's because if you live in Atlanta, every week they put the sorry Falcons on. So you can't watch anybody. They'll have that as a Fox game, and they'll have nothing on CBS. They may put the Dolphins and the Jets on, but I like to watch the game I want to watch. I like to watch Carolina. I watch every one of their games. Quinn, I'm sure you do too. You watch the Bears. I want to watch the Panthers play every Sunday. That's why I get the ticket. It's just the way I like to do it, but I cannot stand living in Atlanta and having to watch every Falcons game on TV. I won't do it. It costs me a couple hundred dollars a year. I have to deal with it. So I wonder who Jason watches. Jason Humphries is in the studio somewhere, but I wonder what he does for the NFL. Does he get the ticket? I don't know. It's a lot of money. It's you have to have DirecTV, first of all, to get the Sunday ticket, right, Jonathan? I think that's the only network or cable or satellite provider you can get.
I think Verizon offers it now.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
well,
I believe
Jason
they
right now. Let's see what Jason does for NFL. Jason, who do you pull for in the NFL, and do you get the Sunday ticket?
I'm a Cowboys fan, and no, I get the Red Zone one, Red Zone channel.
Yeah. Well, the Red Zone's amazing, too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
How are you a Cowboys fan living in Oregon?
Aren't you a Chargers fan, too? I was till they moved. I just didn't like the move. I didn't like how they did it, how abrupt they did it. It just felt like a bad divorce. So yeah.
That's Jerry Jones is doing though. That's your favorite team, Dallas is doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a Cowboys fan?
1 year.
Yeah, about a year.
Bandwagon.
Like I was saying, I get the Red Zone channel.
Well, you may run like maize, but you hit like shit.
I use that line.
I can't believe you. You're a Cowboys fan after last year. Come on, Jason. Come on, man. That's
Be better.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Be better.
Come on, man.
You could have became a Bears fan.
Why?
Well,
you have enough fans. You should have become a Cardinals fan. They don't have enough fans. Be a Cardinals fan.
It's hard when you live with a family member of the quarterback of the Cowboys. It's hard to not root for them. Okay.
It's hard.
Wow.
Will you repeat that again, Jason? Will you repeat that?
My fiance is Dak Prescott's cousin. No shit. No bullshit.
Oh.
That's where it comes from.
That's pretty cool.
That solves
that.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Well, no wonder you're a Cowboys fan then, Jason.
Okay. Well, that's where it comes from.
How about you get me VIP tickets then?
Yeah,
I wish she talked to him. Jeez Louise, but...
Well, Jason, okay, we're not going to stay much longer. Game of Thrones starts in a few minutes. What do you think about Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss? Did that surprise you?
No, it didn't. We've been talking this NCAA rumblings and whatnot, and, yeah, I hope that prostitute was worth it. Yeah,
it's a lot of money for a prostitute these days. But Hugh Freeze, it surprised me. It really did. It really surprised me that he did that. Quinn's right. Nothing surprises you really with people, but that wouldn't be the picking for. Somebody listening to the damn radio in the background.
Come on,
no,
Jason.
I got Netflix
Jason
going.
Like normal.
I got
Jason.
Netflix going. But
what
I might
watching?
Be crazy. Last Chance U, and I'm going to talk about this. Ole Miss next season. Okay, my crazy prediction is they interview Bud Stevens, the East Mississippi coach. I might be crazy. I just have a feeling. And I'm probably 1,000% wrong, which is fine. It won't be the last time, but I just have a crazy feeling.
This guy punched a damn official at midfield last year, Jason. You think he's ready for SEC football?
Sure.
Seriously, he did?
He did in season one.
Yeah, season two now, and he's doing push-ups for every cuss word he does. Could you imagine Saban on the sideline doing push-ups for cussing? The guy's a mascot.
Yeah.
No, well, Jason, if he does that, you're the man, Jason. If you predict that and that happens,
hey,
my hat's off to you.
So,
hey, you got to think outside the box sometimes, man. You're doing it. You're doing it right now. I'll be surprised. Jonathan, I don't know if you know who he's talking about, the coach. But
yeah,
I can't imagine him in the SEC. But Ole Miss, I mean, hell, you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I like the coach. I mean, obviously he has some troubles, I guess, with relating to players and whatnot. But that's always going to be an issue when you're taking 18-year-olds, throwing them with a 50-year-old and saying, hey, figure this out. I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think that if you put him in a different spot, it might be better off for him. But I don't know if he wants to be in that big of a spot. The guy's won at his level consistently. Has probably proven to be the best coach in that conference. So we'll see if that actually shapes out. If that happens, yeah, Jason, you get props.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ole Miss could be last chance you. Ole Miss could be that now. I mean,
yeah.
Hell, their coach is screwing people. I mean, they actually hired Ed Orgeron one time. That ought to tell you something about this. Well, hell, I'm going to go with you, Jason. I'm going to go ahead and predict it. You're right.
No.
If they hired Ed Orgeron, they would hire anyone.
Hey,
leave that alone.
That's in the backyard.
I think
Ed Orgeron
is better than what you give him credit for.
I mean, leave Ed alone. Leave him alone.
This is a guy that ripped off his shirt in the locker room and threatening people, threatening his own players, wanting to fight him in the locker room. This guy.
It was 10 years ago, Brian.
You just gave me a bad
video. LSU may lose six games this year. That's how bad of a coach he is.
If he can't win that LSU,
stop.
Okay, I don't know what a coach can't win that LSU. You know he's a bad coach because LSU,
I know.
Louisiana is a hotbed of recruits.
Yeah, Miles won a championship.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. There's 100 coaches in football better than Les Miles, and he won there. He didn't win enough.
He won it.
Leave Ed alone. Leave the Cookie Monster alone.
I wouldn't want to fight Ed Orgeron. Wells, quit barking at me.
Wells is going to be soft.
Why would you be afraid to fight him? Just throw a piece of chicken at him, and he'll leave you alone.
That guy's a tough. He's a Cajun, man. That guy's...
Yeah,
I mean, he can't fight. I've heard Chuck. He's pretty good at that. So I wouldn't want to mess with him. But as far as him running, being the CEO of LSU, I'm telling you, that loss to Florida last year should tell you a lot about him. The fact that he let a player sit out a bowl game, the fact that a player was injured and then got in a fight before the game and then ran and put his uniform on and came out and played, that shows you how much control he has over his team. I mean, zero. Yeah.
Leave Eddie alone.
Jonathan, what is he, your cousin or something?
I'm not that lame. God, I'd be coaching.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I read the book that Feldman wrote, Meat Market, that talked about Orgeron and his time at Ole Miss, and obviously, you know, the taking the shirt off and challenging the players thing happened. He got run out of Miami. Let's be honest. His coaching career almost died. because he couldn't get himself under control at the University of Miami during their run. This is somebody who was supposed to go play at LSU and decided he'd rather be closer to home at Northwestern State. You saw what he did at USC, and the hire him at Ole Miss, it wasn't a bad hire at the time. And at the same time, Ole Miss wasn't in the best spot. Looking at everything that encompassed Orgeron, and I always believe you got to give a guy another chance as far as the head coach goes, because their first go run, it does not always go beautiful the first time. It happened. That's why I think Lane Kiffin got this shot, even though if you really think about it, it's really his third chance, even though he never really had one in Oakland because Al Davis is nuts. And he ran himself out of Tennessee very quickly. I think all coaches deserve a second chance to be a head coach once they've been one if the first one didn't go well because, you're learning and you're figuring out how to handle all this. And I think this is why that this could be a good fit for Orgeron in the long run. I mean, he grew up an LSU fan. I don't think he's going to accept anything less than success
He's thrilled to be a head coach at an SEC school. That shows you how the SEC's dropping off having coaches like him in there. I mean, that's just the truth.
I think you're underestimating him.
Come on, Brian. Come on. Why don't you like him?
I mean, he's a hell of a
recruiter. What is the real reason?
Because
he's just terrible.
He doesn't like anybody who likes to have fun. Like Dabo, that's the reason why he doesn't like Dabo, because he thinks Dabo's too much of a clown. Because he likes
Dabo
too much fun.
Dabo? Who the hell's Dabo?
Debo.
You mean Debo from Friday. You mean Debo from Friday, the movie.
Whatever his name.
Quinn, I don't like clowns and mascots. Unless it's Aubie for Auburn. I don't like mascot $4 million a year. To sit over there and rah 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 rah. Armor Fran and the damn water boy. That's who we got. You guys will see this year. You guys will see.
When LSU wins 10 games, they beat Auburn?
Yeah, they're not going to win. They're not going to beat Auburn. You know better than that. Look, I'm going to go on their schedule real quick. You've already got me interested. Let's look at LSU. Yeah, they play BYU. They'll beat them. Chattanooga. I think they lose at Mississippi State. They're going to beat Syracuse and Troy. They're going to lose to Florida on the road. They're going to lose to Auburn. They're going to lose to Alabama. And they're probably going to lose to Tennessee or A&M. Hell, they may be 6-6. I may just change my prediction.
Oh, okay. All right. They're going to beat BYU. They're going to beat Chattanooga. They're going to beat Mississippi State. They're going to beat Syracuse. They're going to beat Troy. They're going to be 5-0 going to Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Florida. They're going to beat Ole Miss. I'll tell you right now, they'd probably be Arkansas, Tennessee, and this team can win 10 games. This LSU team can easily win 10 games.
Yeah, they could. But it's a favorable schedule. You look at it. I mean, not really favorable. They play at Florida. That's a tough one. At Mississippi State's not easy. At Ole Miss, at Alabama, and at Tennessee, there's five true road games right there. I mean, that's tough, and they're all SEC games, too.
Yeah.
That's tough, and that's why I'm saying Ed Orgeron's not the coach to be able to do it. They don't have the quarterback. I mean, Tennessee, by November 18th, they may be good. But Texas A&M, hell, we don't know. They may be good. Arkansas may
They've
be
never
good.
Beaten
they don't
LSU.
Know how that series goes. They won. Oh, I know.
Not beat LSU. It's in LSU. I mean, you know what's nuts is LSU, last time they lost in Tennessee, 2001. They're going to beat Tennessee. And they're going to beat Arkansas. Keep their gold boot. They're going to go to Ole Miss and break the streak of the home team winning 5 in a row. They're going to beat Ole Miss. I think they're going to beat Florida. I think that's a big game for them. They're going to come in really high for that Florida game. So they're going to play close to Troy just because they're looking forward to Florida. They'll beat Troy by like 14. They're going to go to Florida, put the smack down on them, come home, have nothing left, and get dusted by Auburn. right? They're going to beat Ole Miss, get the bye week, and then Alabama, they're going to go to Bama, probably lose. LSU, I can tempt to win 10-2, 9-3 at worst.
LSU plays Alabama tough in Tuscaloosa, man. That's a tough team. But I'm going to tell you, the third week against Mississippi State on the road with that quarterback, I mean, that could happen, Quinn. I know y'all don't think so, but that's a dangerous game. A night game in Starkville, possibly. Dan Mullen's a lot better coach than that Orgeron. That
They're
home field 16 advantage.
And one. They're 16-1 against Mississippi State. The only time Mississippi State beat them was 2014. They're 16-1.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a woodshed back there with Dak Prescott.
That
was in Baton Rouge.
Man.
Yeah, but it was a blowout before that, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as Auburn's era. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I'm going to tell you, you guys love for Ed Orgeron is crazy. And I hope he beats Alabama this year. I hope he really does. But I don't know. That's a tough schedule.
I'm going to root for him.
It is. But here's the deal. You got those tough road games, and then your home games, you got Chattanooga, Syracuse, Troy, Auburn, and Arkansas, and A&M. So, I mean, your home games are tough, too. So, you look at the road, you look at home.
Yeah.
My God, I mean, I'm gonna put them underdog in about three games this year. I mean, to me, I think they'll be favored over Auburn. I think they'll be a small favorite over Florida. They'll be underdogs at Alabama. And Alabama may be the only game they're an underdog to this year.
Brian,
when's
the last time Auburn won at LSU?
It was Tommy Tuberville. It was, God, it was 20 years ago, probably.
1999.
Okay.
I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
Just put it out there. Put it out there.
And I was at the game in, what was it? God, it was 2006 or 2007 when Auburn, Brandon Cox went to LSU and we had them beat. They threw that pass up into the end zone with time running out instead of kicking a field goal. Les Miles. Yeah, 2007. I was in Baton Rouge a night game. That was amazing.
Oh, wow.
That game was. But I wish we would have won. But I think Auburn with the quarterback play, the offensive line, the running backs, the receivers, the defense, and the kicker, I mean, they have everything they need to be able to beat. And finally, if you look at Auburn going into Baton Rouge, this is the most favorable team they've had going into Baton Rouge, I think, ever that I can remember. And you look at 13 when we went there and lost, that was a better team than us at that time. LSU was a lot better team. We got better. But this year, Auburn going into the season is a better football team than LSU. Will they beat them? I don't know. It'll be tough. But I think Auburn's got the team that can do it. I don't think LSU can score with them. I really don't.
I agree.
So we'll see.
I mean, we'll see.
We'll see.
You know, after O took over, they went 5-2, and it's been 5 wins, 42, 45, 38, 38, and 54. I mean, they, you know, put up 10 against Florida and a goose egg against Bama. You know, but I mean.
Think about
it,
that.
You know,
let me go look at this with you right quick. And you said that, like I'm supposed to drop down to my knees and kiss his ass or something, but
yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying that the offense definitely improved after Les Miles and Cam Cameron were ousted, and then they brought in a very good offensive coordinator to run the show.
When did Les
leave?
When did he get fired? After Auburn? Did Les Miles get fired?
Yeah, right
after
Auburn.
Game?
Yeah.
Okay. They beat a bad Missouri team. They beat Southern Miss. They beat Ole Miss, a 5-17. They played Alabama very well. I'll give them that.
Oh, yeah.
They lost 10-0. They skull drug Arkansas on the road. That Florida game, the only reason they lost that game is because it was a morning game, I think. And
yeah,
because I think they just overlooked it. You know, if that had been a night game, they'd have won. So.
Well, I mean, if Darius Geis runs the right way, he probably scores the game-winning touchdown. Like, that's the worst part. That's the worst thing about that whole thing was Geis went the wrong way in the play. And you're like, hey, you know, everybody's saying, what are you doing?
Yeah. I see y'all's point. I see. I mean, look, looking at the schedule now, they won the bowl game. They blew Texas A&M out on the road Thanksgiving night. That Florida game was a fluke, I'm telling you. Going to Arkansas and beating them by 28, very impressive. The Alabama game was very impressive. Beating Ole Miss the way they did, very impressive at the time. Yeah, I mean, I can't really sit here and argue. That's a good point. I'm not going to sit here and try to justify my statement. I just don't feel that the guy's got what it takes. But if he could impress me this year and change my mind, I have no reason to not like him. Like Quinn said, I don't really have a reason not to like him. I just don't really respect him. But if he runs the gauntlet this year, I mean, you have to. I just think that schedule's too trash. Anyhow, Auburn's played, and you remember in 14, when after the national championship game, our schedule, we had five road games. You remember that with Kansas State? That was tough, man.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you have, and I think, is that BYU game in Texas?
Yeah, it's in Houston.
Well, so there's six games that's on the road or a neutral site. So most teams get eight home games. LSU gets six. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Well, guys, thanks for joining me. We'll try to do a show this week. I'm going to see with work and being sick. It's been crazy. But I want to get back to doing two nights a week, if that's okay with you guys.
Always. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just want to get back because we've got a lot for next week or whenever we do a show again. We're going to do the SEC East and we're going to talk Notre Dame.
All right.
Okay.
Since Notre Dame doesn't have a conference.
Notre Dame 4-8.
And Jason, just what? For you, we may talk Oregon one day.
Okay. One day, down the road, sometime in the distant future.
Yep.
How about this? We'll do the SEC the next time, and then the following time, we'll do the Oregon Ducks division. How about that?
All right.
Oh God. So Washington wins. The
all
next
right,
question.
no, Stanford does. That's the question.
Wow.
Stanford. Yeah. You guys not learn from me to not respect Stanford by now. Come on, guys. All right.
You're
all
always wrong about Stanford. You always predict them to do worse than they always do every year. They always do better than you always say.
No, you guys had them going 12-0 that year, and I said they'd go 9-3, and that's what they went.
Haterade.
I'm just telling you guys, I know my football, and I know these coaches that are cookie monsters. I know who they are.
Okay.
Hey,
breaking news.
Ed Orgeron will be live on the show next time. We're going to get him off. That's it. That's all you got to do. Rip my shirt off and punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Have a good week, guys. 15 minutes from now, Game of Thrones is starting. So, Jason, do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I do not.
Good book.
God, you guys suck, all three of them. All right, guys. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon. We'll have a show Wednesday or Thursday.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a party.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Bye.
You too. Bye.